Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone. Good evening. How are you this evening on this Monday night here in Chicago? It's a little moist in the air from raining, and it's cold. I got my socks on because it's cold out, so I've been on my feet to get cold. So this Monday, we are coming to you live on Blog Talk, 310-861-2354. Is our phone number if you would like to call in or pass the number on to someone if you're texting or Facebooking or being via web to let them know that our number is 310-861-2354. We're going to start off with saying Iron Sharpening Iron Ministries of Smile 3E would like to say welcome. Welcome you on tonight, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host for tonight, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, along with Minister Brandon Kaiser. We are your hosts every Monday night with Blog Talk Ministry, where you can call in and hear a man or woman speak on the Word of God. And we would also like to say, please forward it out, share it, email it, fax it, text it, do whatever you have to do to get the word out. For people are in this land in these last days in a dying world, and they need to hear what thus said the Lord. So tonight, I'm going to just ask to make sure if the man of God, a prophet, Antoine Thomas, is he on the line tonight? Okay. Well, a prophet had told me earlier he had a prior engagement and that he was not going to be able to be with us on tonight. So I had informed him if it was okay with him, if he couldn't find anyone to step in his place, I would do it for him. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to start off with prayer. And then we're going to get into the word of God on tonight. Father God, we come to you on tonight, God, asking you to word my mouth, asking you to give me insight of what needs to be said, what should be said, to move me out the way, God, that you may be in the way, that somebody will be blessed on what is said on tonight. God, I'm asking you to forgive me and everyone else that's listening and that's a part of this ministry for every sin. We're asking you to forgive us for everything that we've done or said without knowing and things that we do know. God, we're just asking you to be God in our life. For if you be our God, we will be your people. We're asking you to cover America and to cover all the allies that are with us. And even the ones that are against us, God, we're asking you to cover them to change their hearts and their minds concerning the body of Christ, the people of America, and the people in America even change their heart. God, we're just asking you to cover our president. Give him wise counsel. Give him counsel that would give him ministry in his ear that says you are the president for the people. You're not just some president or the other one's president, but you are the president for the people. God, we're just asking you to let every man and woman of God that's in politics that has a bidding or a calling over the people of America's life, God. We're asking you to bring them to one accord. God, we're just asking you to cover us with your love and protection. We ask you to do these things in your son Jesus' name. We're asking you to cover our house. We're asking you to cover our families. We're asking you to cover everything that's concerning us. God, we're asking you to give us a heart to love your people. We're asking you to give us a heart to seek to please you according to what your people need and what the body of Christ needs. God, we're just asking you to be God again in our lives. Every day, all day, we're asking you to be God. Give us the heart, the want, the knowledge, and the I need to be more like Christ. In Jesus' name, these things are so, and it is so. Amen. So I was asking God on today, I said, Lord, what is it that you would have me to say to your people? What is it that you would have me to speak on concerning you. And I started paying attention to everything that was coming into my eyes and that I could see, and coming into my ears that I was hearing, and coming out of my mouth that I was speaking on. And what it boiled down to was basically everything that was coming in my contacts today was about responsibility. So I began to grab my word, and I began to look at it, and I said, well, God, I heard something today that said the first thing you gave man on this earth was not, you know, the average person would say a woman. No, God, you gave us something before you gave us to the man. God, you gave us responsibility. You told Adam he could name all the fowl of the air and everything in the waters, and how he can name everything that creeped upon the earth and the creepy things that crawled upon the earth, and he could name the flowers and different things. And after he did all of that, you told us before you even gave him woman that not only would, that you had made man in your own image, but you said you made female and male, that even before you gave Adam woman, you had gave the animals of the air and of the land and of the sea. You gave them, and in the earth, you gave them a male and a female. You gave them a spouse. And when you saw that you had, everybody had someone likened unto them that they can multiply, and after you told them to multiply and replenish the earth, then you said, you noticed that Adam didn't have anyone. So if you look in Genesis 1, and if I'm not mistaken, I think I wrote it down, in 26, where God said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything creeping that creepeth upon the earth. And I said, oh, wow, God, you did all that. And then you went into verse 27 and said, so God created man in his own image, in the image of the God that created of him, he him, and male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over every fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. So God talked about all of that. And then when he went down to over in the second verse, it tells us around the 21st chapter, then the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and as he slept, he took a rib from him and caused his flesh to, you know, create the woman. And when God did that so that Adam would have a helpmeet, not where Adam would be alone, where he would see everybody else has a companion and everybody else is doing what they do to replenish and make it fruitful on the earth. But God made sure he gave that to Adam, and then he gave Adam dominion over the woman to name her. And Adam said, because she was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, he will call her woman. And when I looked at all of that, and I began to just sit back and say, oh, God, how somewhere along the line we still don't get it. We're still fighting against one another to understand that we're supposed to be together as a group, as a couple. Excuse me for this phone that's ringing in my background. Excuse me real quickly. Sorry for that. We're not getting it that we're supposed to be here as the helpmate for our spouses to help be fruitful in the land. And it starts in our home first to help us with spreading the word of God, where our seed is under the understanding that because God is God and God has started this ministry in our life, that God has made us to know that everything we do, we're supposed to do fruitfully. Everything we do, we're supposed to do it where it magnifies. I'm saying all that to say, when you have someone in your life that you have responsibility to provide for them, a roof over their head, food to feed them, clothes to give them to wear, a home to give them to stay safe and hopefully to stay safe in, and you make a way for them to know, don't forget to involve God in that. Don't forget your responsibility is to make sure that they know, because of these things that I'm able to provide for you, God made it possible for me to be in a position to provide this to you, because not only did I ask him to, you know, ask God for it, but I prayed and depended on God to make it happen. Because a lot of times when we don't take the responsibility to let people know that God is our source, he's our mean, that anything and everything that happens in our life is because God is the God of salvation. God is the God of our heart. God is the God of our life. He's the God of our family. I had a nephew that asked me on today. He said, Auntie Renee, can I ask you something? And I said, sure, you can. And he's 13, and he wasn't really raised in a household that they acknowledged God. You know, he was raised in a house where they, you know, they call on God when they need him. I'm just going to keep it real. I'm not saying they don't believe, but the kids have not been put in a place where they wake up and tell him before your feet hit the ground, say thank you, Lord. Before you get out the bed, say thank you, Jesus. Before you go on your way of the day, you say, God, I'm asking you to go before me and make every way straight and, you know, move everything out of the side that can harm me, kill me, or cause me to have problems. God, I'm asking you to be my center. I'm asking you to be my controller. I'm asking you to be my director for the day. They didn't have that. So on today, he said, you always talking to me about God, and you always telling me to read the Bible, and it was all because he was so used to me to telling him to read Exodus 20 and 12 and Matthew 6. You know, he have started to memorize it, so he didn't want to. He wanted to just recite it. That's what it was. He wanted to recite it. So I say, no, don't go there. I say, find something new to read. So he began to look at me like, well, why? I can't read what you've been telling me to read. I said, no, we're not going to go through that. I want you to read something else to me. I said, find anything in the Bible. So he kept trying to go down to Matthew's. I said, no, come up a little bit. So he went to 2 Chronicles in the 7th chapter, and he began to read, and he began to talk about the sacrifice and how the priest couldn't go into the temple because the Spirit of God had filled the place. And he said, well, is that enough? I said, no, keep reading until I tell you that's enough. If you don't hear that's enough coming out of my mouth, you need to keep reading. Because I noticed when he was reading like he was angry because I told him to read the word. So I made him keep reading until I really realized that he realized he has to do this and there's no other way around it. So he kept reading, and all of a sudden his voice relaxed and his attitude relaxed, and then he started reading where it said, is my people who are called by my name. And he just began to read that. And he said, how do you know this is true? I said, what's true? He said, no, don't get me wrong, Auntie. I believe in God. But how do you know? Who do you know wrote the book? Who do you know is writing these books? And how do you know what they saying is true? I said, well, you know what? When you pray and you talk to God and you read his word, I said, it's okay if you want to say to God, God, I don't believe this. I don't know this. How do I know this is true? And I said, then you ask God for something. Don't even tell nobody you asked for it. And just watch how God revealed things to you. I said, so different men have wrote the word of God. That's what God had revealed to their heart. And he was still standing there kind of puzzled with what I was saying to him. And I'm saying that to say this. A lot of times when we dealing with ourselves as well as children or people that have not been affiliated with God, we can't get mad because they don't understand. We can't get mad because they don't believe. We can't get mad because we got the attitude that you should know when they got the attitude you should know that I don't know, and really I don't see what's the purpose in seeing this because the TV is showing them so much and the movies is showing them so much and the schools and the kids in the school is showing them so much that nobody's teaching the children or people it's okay to be different. Your responsibility is to let them know that I may not dot my I the way you dot your I. I may not slant my letters the way you slant your letters. I may not talk to people the way you talk to people because people are now starting to look at everything as a robot. Well, they said it. Well, they do it. And well, they're wearing it like this. They're doing it like that. So they think that that's the way to do it because nobody has took the responsibility to tell them that it's okay to be different. In other words, it's okay that I don't have to walk like a duck because you walk like a duck. I don't have to shout to my lungs to be seen because sometimes the quietest person in the room is speaking the loudest. I remember the woman of God many years ago, we was going to No Cross, No Crown, and we was at the church on North Avenue, and she said that you could be in a room and it could be 100 women or more in there, and the guy come in and he's looking because God has sent him on a quest for to find a wife, and he will see nobody but you. Out of all the women in there and out of all the noise that they're making and the things that they're doing, he don't see anybody but you. And when she said that, I said to myself then, because sometimes the person that's the quietest is speaking the loudest. Because when God puts something inside of you, he will reveal it to those that need to see it. And if don't nobody see you, sometimes it's best to be quiet because you may be trying to show what you got to somebody that don't need to see it. You know how you have people that, like the word said, that the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. You have some people out here that come to kill, steal, and destroy. And don't you throw your pearls out there to the swine where that they may, you know, swallow them up, gather them up, and then you sitting back saying, what happened? Because you move in yourself, but instead of waiting for God to tell you when to move, instead of waiting for God to tell you when to say something, instead of waiting for God to be your God, you decided he was going to need some help when he didn't need no help. We walk away from our responsibilities. You have some people out here that decided one day they wanted to take on a job that they knew they wouldn't qualify for. But they wanted somebody else to keep doing their work, and they would always take the credit for what they did. And one thing I do know, if that person is a saint and they follow God, that sometimes God will show up immediately and sometimes God will show up in due season, where after a while, that person will get exposed for not being the leader or not being the person they claim to be. When I looked at God's word on today, and he was saying that he made woman to be the man's helpmeet, that's what her job was supposed to be, his helpmeet. I'm not always saying us as women want to do it, but let's be honest, because we got that mindset is, well, what about me? I'm tired. Can't you do it? But yet and still, we want the, what they call it, the gusto of being a woman. We want the the gifts of being that woman. We want all of these things of being that woman, but yet it's still, we don't want to wear both shoes. We want to wear one shoe and then have the other foot on the side getting a massage. Or could I say it like that? A lot of times we don't know what our responsibility is to our children. Well, our children are the first ones supposed to be able to decide, am I their mother or am I their friend or am I trying to compete with them? I look at a lot of things out here and I say, God, I thank you for when I was little, I may not have had a chance to meet my grandmother. My dad's mom died before I was old enough to meet her. My mom's mom died before I was old enough to meet her. I never got to meet them, but I did get to meet both of my parents' father. And one thing I did find out when I met my grandfather from my dad's side and I met my grandfather from my mom's side, that they were men. They didn't play with little girls or boys, but definitely little girls. You didn't sit on their lap. You didn't lean on their back because they said, their responsibility was to let you know, you don't sit on a man's lap because they were, and back then they would say things happen. You don't lean on his back because you have a breast either on your back or developing. They say things happen. So I got the chance to learn what a real man would do when they are around children. You know, they didn't let you stand between their legs. They didn't let you sit on their lap. They didn't let you rub on them. They didn't let you do that. I got to see how my aunties that I was around and my great aunts was around, when they sat down, they either had what they call a lap scarf or a sheet or something over their lap where you couldn't look up under their dress or peep up under their dress. They didn't play that where you sit around me when adults talk. No, when adults talk, the children was not in the room because they had responsibilities to make sure those of us as children stayed in the child's place. They didn't allow us to talk back. They took the responsibility to teach us things that when an adult is walking in a room and you're walking in a room, they better not say, you see me coming, you better step back and let them through. When you saw adults talking, they could be talking and you can walk up to them. You better not butt in while they're talking. You had to say, excuse me, and then stand there and wait for them to acknowledge you, not walk off because you didn't get frustrated. Because they took responsibilities to show you where your place was at. They taught us how, if I told you to wash the dishes before I come in, let me come in and steal some dishes in the sink. They not only woke you up with a extension cord belt, boot, shoe, or whatever else they got their hands on, but they made you take all the dishes out the cabinet and off the shelves and not only wash them, but dry them and put them away, and then told you, going to go back to sleep, and then you still had to get up and go to school. They didn't play you better take that garbage out, or you're going to take your butt out there where it rains, sleet, or snow, and you're taking that garbage outside, because they taught us responsibilities. They taught us how to respect them. They taught us how to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. I remember growing up in I called myself, I wanted to curse. But I remember one day, I was just, you know, you kids, you always try something. I remember saying in front of my mama, dang. And it was like I said the curse word. My mama hit me so hard in my mouth that my mouth was ringing like somebody had put some pepper or something on my lips. Because she said, you don't say that in front of me. You don't say, hey, you of your mama call, you say what? Because they taught us responsibility. They taught us how to acknowledge who they are. They taught us how to acknowledge when prayer is going on and we're in service. They taught us how to keep our feet because our responsibility was not to embarrass them or ourselves or to embarrass the house of God. That's what we were taught growing up. And nowadays, a lot of parents is not willing to or wanting to teach their children responsibilities. They want to be their friend. But I tell you today, you can't be friends with your children or grandchildren or great nieces or nieces and nephews. You have to be the adult that teaches their responsibilities, because when they get older, or if they are grown, in a minute they're going to disrespect you. They're going to show you that you have no responsibility over them because you never taught them responsibilities. Because you have to let them know, at some point in time, you got to know who I am, what I stand for. I can't be your friend, but I can act friendly towards you, where I will show you when you come up, hey, how are you? What's going on? How are you doing? But as far as me and you being friends, no, we don't hang out. We can have a conversation, but make sure your responsibility to them is to, whenever you say something to them and you communicate with them, you have the word of God to back it up. Or you can say, well, you know, well, the word of God also says this, and the word of God also says that. So when I was able to talk to my nephew today, I told him, the more we read the Bible, you're going to see how you could tell that it's true. Because you believe the part of Exodus 20:12 where it said, honor thy mother and thy father on this green earth that the Lord has given you. Your days will be longer. He believes that. But he didn't want to believe the other stuff. Like I was telling him, you can't take the good, because that's good for you, and say, yeah, God said that. But then you want to take the other stuff and say, well, I don't know if God said that. Yeah, God said that. God said in his word, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. That's what I was telling him. Read what it says. He said, humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Then will he hear from heaven. He will heal their land. I was trying to teach him to read this and read that and ask questions, because my responsibility is to tell him, in my house, you don't play no music and you don't look at them video games and the movies with all the cursing. He tried it the other day, and I said, oh, no. We don't do that in my house. And he looked at me, well, at my mama, okay, well, that's the difference. That was at your mama house. I had to remind her of her address, and then I had to remind him of my address. What we're going to do, what we're not going to do, and let him know that's not what we're doing. My responsibility is to teach him that you in this house, you will honor God. You will honor his word. You will live to the best of your ability to be saved. If you don't know what it is, just keep asking me questions and just keep being responsible for the kids when they keep asking you questions. Just keep being responsible enough to teach them the responsibility of what the word of God says. Teach them how believing the word of God, applying the word of God to your house and to your life, it's a way of letting them know, as long as you acknowledge God, acknowledge his word, keep his commandments, do what he told you to do, you would understand your responsibility. Because as you teach one, as that one gets older and grown, they'll teach one. I was also explaining to my nephew today, he was saying something about a young lady, and I said, oh, no, baby, that ain't how I go. You don't talk like that to or about women. I said, see, our problem is, the average African-American man don't want to give the average African-American woman, you know, how I say it, stand to them, respect. They don't want to give them respect because the movies show and TV show and the records show and the video show that we are thoughts and, you know, those other words. And when he brought it out of his mouth, I told him, oh, no, we don't talk like that in this house. And you don't call girls that. When you with your friends, I want you to say to them, no, that's not how I'm going to talk about her. I'm not going to call her that, whether you see it on video or anything else. You tell her because you don't know why she does that, why this happened, why that happened. I said, you have to at some point let them know I'm not going to treat somebody like you're treating them because that's not my responsibility to beat them down too. I said, how would you feel if somebody was to call me that? I would be mad is what he said. But the think about it, you're calling somebody else that, and that's somebody's sister. That's somebody's auntie. That's somebody's cousin. That's somebody's mother. That's somebody's somebody. But yet and still, you did like everybody else. You labeled her, you called her, and you said it out of your mouth. Your responsibility is not to be like other people because we are a peculiar person. God has taught us to be different. We don't walk like the world. He says, separate yourself. And I was just trying to teach him things that a 13-year-old mind could grab at the same time. I couldn't use too big of a words because of the attitude that he has towards certain things and certain people because he wasn't raised like that. And you know how the old saying say, people used to say, do what I say and not what I do. That's the attitude he have. But he do what I do and say what I do, say what I say. He just don't have the responsibilities of doing what's right because that's not where he was at. But at this point in time in his life, there's a big difference. He's learning how to watch before he says something, to react before he says something, because he has more of a benefit now that says, if I go to school every day and I don't get in trouble and no teachers are calling, no trouble with notes are coming home or phone calls or whatever, he's starting to see the benefits because he's taking on the responsibility of, you know now, the teacher is here for you. You're not here for the teacher. The teacher is here to teach you. Your job is to come in and be respectful. And if you are a child that has the ability to get other kids to listen to you, say to them, man, look, I got to be here. Let me learn what he's trying to teach. Y'all keep it down. If you set the atmosphere in your classroom, those boys that follow you eventually going to start following you because they're going to say, I see a difference in you. So I'm teaching him how to take the responsibility of walking different, talking different, looking different. I told him, you don't wear your pants in this house sagging. No, we got rid of the big belts he had because the belts was too big to hold his pants up, so they sag. And now he got right-sized belts because his responsibility is, you don't let me see your drawers. I don't want to see your drawers. Nobody else want to see your drawers. Only time I see your drawers is if I'm washing them and folding them up. But you're not going to walk through my house with you exposing yourself. You know, so I'm saying that to say this. When we walk into responsibilities, when we have to show responsibilities, it ain't always easy, but it ain't always hard either. You have to take the time out. You have to take the chance and say, okay, God, every day I pray, Lord, what is it that you're going to have me to do today that this young man that you have put in my house needs for me today? I don't wait till it happens. I ask God before I go to sleep. I ask him once I get up and begin to talk with God. I say, God, what is it that I'm going to need today? How do I put myself in the right position to stay consistent with this child, to consistently show him responsibilities? I can't be scared of him. I can't act like I'm scared of him. I can't act like I'm fed up with him asking me the same questions, because a lot of times the enemy of our soul will use kids or situations and just have you go over and over and over until you pass that test, until you get out of that place. We'll have you going through the same thing to see if I could keep pushing this button to make you act irresponsible, to make you act like you don't want to be responsible, that you're going to throw your hands up, throw the towel in, and say, I can't do this no more. We have to come to the conclusion and the understanding that from the beginning of the Word of God, God gave man on this earth a responsibility, and that was to replenish. that was to name, and that was to care for, and that was to do what he had to do concerning the earth. And the earth has plants, has animals, have other human beings, and it has children. And our responsibility to each and one of each other is to teach each one how to love, teach each one the word of God, teach each one, if you don't know, you should know, every knee will bow, every tongue must confess, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our responsibility to one another is to say, I love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Our responsibility is to be in his word. Our responsibility is to pray, teach others how to pray. Our responsibility is to love ourselves, love our family. Let your family see and know that no matter what happens, let them know that I can go to my auntie, my uncle, my mom, my dad, my grandma, my granddad. They could come to whoever it is, whatever role you play in their life, to say one thing I know. They can get a prayer through. Show them that you have been in such a place that whatever you teach them is always about you are responsible for your actions. You are responsible for the good. You are responsible for the bad. You are responsible for, you know, just knowing that you know. Because it's hard out here when you don't know where to go to and who to go to. No matter how bad it gets, I have a responsibility to myself to say, okay, I need to get a hold of myself, come to myself, because I somewhere forgot. I need to go get on my knees. I need to lay before the Lord. I need to go over here and do what I got to do, because I know who has my back. I know who my source is. I know who my God is. I know what his word says. And I just want to be everything that God has called for me to be, everything that God has told me I can be, everything God has shown me I can be. I want God to just come into my life and just give me the ministry that he has called me to be. I don't want anybody else's ministry. I want to be responsible for what God has put in me, to develop the fruit, develop the season, develop the seed, to develop the place that God has called me into. I want God to develop my responsibility in this world. So on that note, I'm going to end it with saying amen. And I pray that each and every one of you go to God and ask God, what is your responsibility in the body of Christ, in your household? What is it that you need to do? How do you need to go about it? How do you need to look at it and treat it and develop it? Remember, the responsibility is in your hands. So if you have anything you would like to say on tonight to me, I'm going to ask Minister Brandon Kaiser to open the lines up so that anyone want to speak, they can speak and give me comments or ask for prayer. I'm just asking God to just have his way on tonight. That is our responsibility with Blog Talk Radio, is to get the word of God out. It is an international ministry, and just allow God to use you to be a blessing. Amen. Minister Brandon, open the lines, please.
Well, this is Cecilia. I want to thank God for reminding us about he has called all of us to a certain purpose, and he has called all of us to be people that know that we know without a shadow of a doubt that we're to pray without ceasing, and that we are accountable to God. And as we learn that we're accountable to God for our actions and what we say and what we do, we find ourselves accountable to each other. And so a lot of times our inability to be accountable for those purposes and the responsibilities that God has given us is because of pride. It's because of what people don't like to hear, but the word ignorance. But it's like some people aren't ignorant on purpose. Some people are ignorant because they've never been taught that. And that's one of the things you were talking about, how It's our responsibility to share our knowledge with people about things that we have learned, because it's hard to hold someone accountable for something they've never learned. And so as we learn to be patient with people, then we are able to teach them what we learn, but also be patient with them, because we may have been taught something, as they would say, you know, over in Europe, a young lad or a young girl, but some people are learning these lessons in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, their 70s, and who knows how much older. And so as they learn, it's never too late. That's what I love about God. It's never too late. If we're teachable and if we're willing to learn, we will learn. One of the hardest lessons that I was taught, I have to admit, was taught to me at Fayetteville Deliverance Evangelistic Center down in Fayetteville. The bishop down there said a long time ago, he would say, don't tell him something if you didn't want to hear it again. So many people would go in there and they would talk to the bishop and they would tell him this and they would tell him that, and they think, okay, well, I told him in his office and that's that. And then when he would either preach on it or teach on it, they would be mad, or I told him that in confidence. And I was like, so because you told someone in confidence, did you ever think that maybe that's a problem that multiple people are having? And so then when the man or woman of God begins to teach on something, you automatically think they're talking about you. No, that's called conviction. And so it's our responsibility to teach what God says, to do what God says, and then to just not take the glory for it and just say, God, thank you for using me as a vehicle and a vessel to teach and to be taught. That's all I have.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Apostle Elect Cecilia. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Well, no one else has to speak. I want to add to that. I had to learn that I had been on my own so long and making my own decisions of how I want things to go and how I want to go about doing things, that with myself and staying back together, I have to learn how time be quiet. As Prophet Antoine had I think her name was Farmer, I'm not for sure, but he had a woman of God speak in his place one time, and she spoke on the shut up ministry. I had to learn how to shut up. I'm learning how to shut up. I'm learning how to not always take the responsibility to step up, show up, and speak up. Because sometimes I know what I meant, or I know what I mean to say, but sometimes my responsibility to him is to listen. So like Apostle Elect was just saying, sometimes we have to just know how to know when not to, you know, say something. So I just want to thank everyone for that called in and listened on tonight, and thank Apostle Elect for speaking. Apostle Elect, do you have any announcements for tonight?
I just want to remind everybody to still keep Apostle Sandra Thomas in your prayers. Keep your siblings in your prayers. Keep your spouses in your prayers. Keep our president, our vice president. Keep America in your prayers, because there's a lot of people that forget that the leader of your country is an example of your country and the first person or thing that other countries see. And so therefore, based off of how we want to be seen, we need to pray that we want to be seen as a Christian nation. We want to be seen as a nation of strength. We want to be seen not only as an intellectual country, and not only a cutting edge and technology country, but we want to be seen as people of love and people of hope. And I'm not quite sure if that's really how we're being seen. So let's really keep ourselves and our president and our leadership and our families in prayer so that we can represent Christ the way we should. So that's the only announcement I have about prayer, prayer, and prayer.
Amen, amen. Yes. So I'm going to ask one more time. Is anyone else wanting to say anything on the line tonight before we end the program?
Good evening. This is Sheila Kaiser. I just wanted to say thank you for the words you had tonight, and I thank and I hope more of us understand that the responsibilities to our kids, young adults, and to some of us old folks, as they say, we need our help and learning and understanding the Word of God. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Sheila, for your words tonight to the body of Christ. I'm going to ask Apostle-elect to pray us out tonight, and we are going to give you our ending announcements.
Okay. Father God, we glorify you and we magnify you. Your word says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God, your word says that when we pray, we are to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Teach us, God, how to live a life that says, not my will, but your will be done, God. Teach us how to live a life that says and declares and decrees, not my will, but your will be done. Be it unto me, God, according to your word, according to your will. Why, God? Because your word shall not return unto you void. And your will and your way is what we need, God. We need it in this day. We need it in this time. God, cause us to pray for one another, God, to pray without ceasing for one another. Cause us to cover each other with the blood of Jesus when we pray. Cause us, God, to speak the word and teach the word and stand on the word of God. God, cause us to know that we are healed, for by your stripes we're already healed. God, cause us to know that your word is like a hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces, so we speak your word. Cause us to know that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God, cause us to know your word in every area of our lives, God. Cause us to teach your word, to teach the children how to pray your word, God. Teach us the power in the word of God. For your word is Alpha and Omega. Your word is the beginning and the end. God, we send your word to Apostle Sandra Thomas's house that says that by his stripes she's already healed. God, we send your word to our house that says that Lazarus, rise up. We send your word to her house and to every fiber of her total being that says, get up and walk. God, we send your word to every fiber of her total being that says, thou art healed. And not only is she healed, God, but she's whole in every area of her life. God, we ask you to even restore and to replenish and to bless even the more our speaker on tonight, Minister Sylvia. God, bless her in the city and bless her in the field. Make her the head and not the tail. Make her above and not beneath. God, teach her to do everything that you called her to do without hesitation, without even thinking, what shall I do? For your word teaches us, God, not to worry about what we're to say, not to worry about what we're to eat, not to worry about what we're to do, but God, to trust you. For our foundational scripture already says, God, that we will not only seek you, God, but when we seek you, God, we're going to seek you with our whole heart, God. Not only when we seek you, God, are we going to seek you with our whole heart, but we know that all these things, it didn't say some of them, it didn't say partial part of it, it didn't say this part over here and that part of it, but it said all these things shall be added unto us, food, clothing, everything that's a necessity and a resource to do your will. So, God, we ask you to bless even Minister Stan, God. We ask you to bless Minister Stanley. Bless Minister Kaiser, God. Bless Minister Kaiser as he walks in this new walk that he's about to embark on in these next couple of years, God.
caused him to be the man that you called him to be. God, we even ask you to bless Minister Sheila, God, so that she will do what you told her to do, when you told her to do it, how you told her to do it, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, cause everyone, God, that's under the sound of our voice, whether it's tonight or years to come, God, that when they hear this word, God, they're reminded of the responsibility, the accountability, and the purpose that you've given each and every one of us for the Great Commission, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. It is so, and so it is. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, woman of God, for that powerful prayer on tonight. I want to ask you all to keep every man and woman of God that is assigned to this ministry in your prayers. I want to also thank you for tuning in tonight. I want to also say thank you for the remembering that God is God. I want to let you know, don't forget Friday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have Elder Kathy Kendall, Bill Hills, every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have Apostle Yvette Cecilia Kaiser along with Minister Brandon Kaiser with Let's Talk. Don't forget our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. For seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Don't forget our responsibility to the body of Christ, our responsibility to ourselves, our responsibility to our family. Don't forget, we are held responsible for our actions. Amen. And I love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Good night.